and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of March 18th. I'm your somewhat sickly co-host, Michael Saley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and NCAA-infused basketball champion, Melissa Hansen.
Oh, don't even March Madness, which I'll talk about on TV, is starting this week. So I'm, I'm a basketball widow for the next 3 weeks.
That's
and I'm All right. Anyhow,
what's been your week in entertainment?
I actually have been doing a lot of work around the house. I've had stuff on, and I actually recently went through Sports Night.
Oh.
I caught a couple episodes of when that was on.
Yeah.
And then I've been going through Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Aaron Sorkin kick.
Which I caught a couple episodes when it was on, and for some reason, I think it was just the timing. I ended up not watching it and getting into it. Okay. But both of them are fabulous shows. They're I've been watching them on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
They're free if you have that. But yeah, Aaron Sorkin stuff, and just so it's quick-witted, smart writing.
Walk and talks.
Yeah, well, lots of walk and talks in there, and the cast in each is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And either have gone on to do huge things, or like Studio 60, Matthew Perry stars in it.
Right.
It was after Friends. So kind of big stars either before or after on it.
Yeah. And eclectic cast too, like Felicity Huffman and Robert Guillaume on Sports Night.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like, how cool was that?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And it was Peter Krause, I think, before
yes.
So much bigger. And Josh Charles is now on Good Wife. And then Studio 60, like I said, Matthew Perry, but Amanda Peet, Bradley Whitford, Stephen Weber, Dale Hewley, Sarah Paulson.
I forgot about that.
I'm like, Timothy Busfield? I can't talk. But the one that there were a few that I was like, Simon Helberg.
Oh, really?
He played one of the actors. Sportsnet is set at a sports talk
like
TV show.
ESPN.
An ESPN kind of daily wrap-up kind of show. And then Studio 60 and Sunset Strip is set at a sketch comedy, late-night sketch comedy show.
Yeah.
Like an SNL type, but it's set in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it, and Simon Helberg plays one of the actors on the fake show.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah. But it's all very, it's just smart, and it's topical. Some of it's a little dated. It's Studio 60 and the one they're doing this big thing about the war in Afghanistan.
Oh, okay.
Which is still a topic.
Yeah.
Many years later, but it was like kind of in the heat of everything and... but Studio 60, the kind of opening scene of it is one of the best things ever on television.
How so?
Judd Hirsch is in the first episode.
Oh.
And he plays the producer running this show.
Hmm.
And they make him cut a sketch because they don't want to find questions.
Okay.
And he walks on stage during the opening skit.
Yeah.
He does this brilliant monologue about kind of the dumbing down of America and and based on television. It's on YouTube. You can just watch that.
All right.
Is brilliant.
More Sorkin social political commentary.
Exactly. And both of these shows are pretty full of it because that's what you get with.
Yeah. Well, we have all those years of West Wing watching all that incredible television.
Yeah. Yeah. So if, for some reason, your fan is of other stuff and didn't really catch this. I mean, it's top notch up there with West Wing. If you like smart and funny stuff, I mean, both of these can't be beat in that department.
Yeah, and I think NBC had a real problem managing the placement of that show, and it bounced around the schedule. Well, and
Studio 60 also, this is the interesting thing, it premiered the same season, I remember this, as 30 Rock.
Oh, that's
right. Which was
right.
The comedy version.
Yes.
We had the comedy version and the drama version of shows set at sketch comedy
yes.
shows.
Yes, I forgot about that.
And it's, you know, obviously 30 Rock lasted quite a bit longer. This only lasted one season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's well worth seeking out and watching if you missed it the first go-round.
Very cool.
So.
Well, I have another successful weekend for my show, Sold Out Performances. We're actually selling out the entire run, which apparently this theater company has never done. But of course,
it's all because of you.
No, it's not because of me.
I'm sure it is. I mean, no. That you were there. That like award-winning Chicago actor, no, Mike Daly, is in New England. It turned out true.
Right. No, but it has claimed my health. So
yeah. But it always does.
I know. And then I've got, so the sad thing is, 3 days after this show closes, my next show opens. It's just insane. Like, what am I doing to myself?
Yep.
But yeah, that's pretty much consumed my entertainment. Although this morning I did throw in Universal's Les Mis, which I did not see in the theaters during holiday season. And I have to be honest, I've only just started watching it, but I am not thrilled with Russell Crowe playing Javert.
No one else in the entire world is either. So.
It's painful.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I think that was, for a lot of people, the only negative.
Yeah. It's just, it's so blatantly obvious.
But the best thing is,
else.
He's the one, like, with a band who, like, is a professional singer.
Really?
Yeah, he is. It's the band.
I forgot about that.
The Odyssey of Grunts or
yes,
something.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he does shows and gets paid for it and stuff. He's the one that's actually, like, a singer.
Yeah. He swallows everything. It's like everything he's singing is, it's almost like he's afraid to actually sing it, so it's in the back of his throat.
I don't know.
It's weird.
Maybe he was just afraid because he's so good. He didn't want to blow the others out of water, so he held back.
That's it. That's it.
Of course.
But no big surprise at the box office this week as to who's still on top.
But how much it made. Maybe slightly surprised.
Well,
Oz, Great and Powerful, number one, 42 million.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good because we had for a long stretch where number one was in the 20s. Yeah.
But it seems pretty consistent then that every week a new movie opens and it loses half of its previous week's box office.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is, it was 80 last week, it's 40 this week. There just seems to be that trend.
Yeah. But 40 is not anything.
No.
Down on right now. Ooh. But anyhow, number two was The Call with 17 million.
Halle Berry. People still going to see Halle Berry.
Alrighty then. Number three, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, 10 million.
Which they were very disappointed with the results on that.
That's not that for that. That's not good at all with that cast.
Yeah.
Jack the Giant Slayer came in just over 6 million. And Identity Thief, 4.5 million.
Now, grand total for Identity Thief so far is $124 million.
That's pretty nice.
Remember when comedies never, ever came close to making $100 million?
Yeah.
And it used to be the big action pictures that would make $100 million.
Yeah, that's all that would make it.
Yeah.
But comedies, no. Yeah, things have definitely switched there.
Yeah. Well, coming up next week, we have three very different films. We've got The Croods, which is the latest animated feature from DreamWorks. It features a family of Neanderthals, who kind of discover the world outside of their own little, I think it was from the trailer, it looks like a massive earthquake kind of opens things up and they leave their kind of rock-based Flintstones home and discover this whole lush tropic world beyond.
The summary on IMDb.
Yeah.
The world's very first prehistoric family goes on a road trip. Oh, I know who wrote that one.
Nick Cage, Emma Stone, Ryan Reynolds, and Catherine Keener.
What the what?
Yeah, how about that for a voice cast?
And you have to throw in Miss Cloris Leachman is in there, too.
This is true. She is.
You cannot forget her, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that's quite the, yeah. Quite the voice cast there.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Cage still has all those, tax bills to pay off, right?
Jeez.
So he's got to take whatever he can get.
Yeah, he and Wesley Snipes. We mentioned 30 Rock. Tina Fey's new film is out this week. She didn't write or direct this one. She's just starring in it. It's called Admission.
It totally looks like something she would have written, too.
It does. But it's based on a book. Tina and Paul Rudd star in a comedy about a college admissions counselor who may be evaluating the son that she gave up for adoption years before. Kind of interesting.
Okay.
Lily Tomlin, Michael Sheen, Gloria Rubin, and Wallace Shawn co-star.
Nice. Oh, Gloria Rubin. What has she been doing?
I know.
Damn, I forgot all about her.
Yeah. In the glory days of ER.
Yeah.
And then the third movie is called Olympus Has Fallen. It's a terrorist attack on the White House that traps everyone inside, and only a disgraced former Secret Service agent, played by Gerard Butler.
Can what is this guy doing?
I don't know.
Like, what is he? His choices are insane. I mean, this has a decent cast, actually, but like, yeah. The soccer movie and then the surfing movie and then that, what?
I don't know. Aaron Eckhart, Melissa Leo, Angela Bassett, and Morgan Freeman, co-star.
Okay.
And Morgan Freeman is not playing the president this time.
No way.
Aaron Eckhart is.
Okay. Wow.
But that's all you got. Well, and okay. Spring Breakers, which was the Vanessa Hudgens, Selena Gomez.
Right. We mentioned before because it opened in
limited release. It's limited. Full release.
It's wide now. So we're all lucky.
If you're not going to the theater this week, you want to see what's coming over to DVD and Blu-ray, head over to DVDverdict.com, the DVD releases tab, the week of March 19th. Hobbit, of course, Peter Jackson's first in his trilogy of Hobbit movies, is hitting Blu-ray and 3D Blu-ray. I don't see anything about this high frame rate. They haven't done anything, but then again, I don't think people have the tech to actually watch that.
Right, yeah, all the stuff they want to release, like no one can watch it, so what's the point?
Right. We've got Tom Hooper's Les Mis, which I was talking about. That's coming to both DVD and Blu-ray this week. A handful of new Criterion collections. Porky's on Blu-ray.
Ooh, righty then.
Classic 80s teen sex comedy Porky's. And then, of course, Catherine Bigelow's Zero Dark Thirty, which I have not yet. Have you seen it?
No.
No. I've got to see it.
No, I will now that it's... out.
And the Judd Apatow comedy that did not do very well at the box office will probably find a very decent home on home video, but this is 40.
I think it's probably more made for that.
Yeah, which is also our contest this week, correct?
It is. It is our contest. You can win a Blu-ray of that. Go on the site, click on contest, fill out all your lovely information, and maybe we will send it to you.
In terms of streaming media, over at Netflix this week, John Cusack does detective horror, I guess you would say, in The Raven, as he stars as Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. But it's not supposed to be a very good movie, but his portrayal is supposed to be good.
All right. He's made some interesting career choices.
Yeah, exactly.
Safety Not Guaranteed is a little indie comedy starring Parks and Rec's Aubrey Plaza and New Girl's Jake Johansson.
Jake Johansson would be a much more interesting movie,
this
though.
This is true. Jake Johansson would be an interesting star in a movie. Mr. Stand-up comedian himself. But it's a sci-fi comedy about a group of friends responding to a classified ad from a strange man looking for a time travel companion. What do you think this could be based off of?
I just couldn't possibly guess.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be very funny, and I just added it to my queue, so when I actually have time to sit down and watch something, I make it to that. And then Act of Valor, which is the action-adventure pick starring the real Navy SEALs, is also available on Netflix this week.
Okay.
Over at Hulu, not much to choose from. Geraldine Page's Oscar-winning performance in Trip to Bountiful. Tate Donovan stars in a political sex comedy called Below the Beltway. Insert rimshot there. And then there's a whole wealth of Asian and Latin American cinema, which I can't even begin to describe. But if either one of those genres floats your boat, there's a ton of stuff for you to explore over at Hulu this week. That's all I got, and I'll throw it over to you for television.
All right. There's a bunch on TV this week.
Yeah.
Shows coming back and ending and... all kinds of new stuff. Anyhow, Monday on ABC, Dancing with the Stars returns yet again.
Who's on it this time?
Oh, who cares? Yeah, Andy Dick is the one I kind of want to see. I guess he's already had a major meltdown, and who knows?
God.
Yeah. Anyhow, so that is starting while The Biggest Loser is ending on NBC.
Gotcha.
But Monday night, A&E, Bates Motel.
Oh, yes.
Finally.
Creepy ass.
Starting. So, prequel to Psycho.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, it should be excellent. New TV horror. Thanks to Ryan Murphy for starting that genre back up. But that's the latest entry into it. And then, Tuesday, speaking of entry, Splash, which is the celebrity diving show.
Oh, my God. I saw that commercial for this. Are you got to be kidding me? Louis Anderson in a bathing suit jumping from a diving board?
Yeah. Yeah, so if you really want to see that, that's on ABC.
Oh, Lord.
Also Tuesday on the CW, iHeartRadio release party with Justin Timberlake. So special about Justin and his new album. Thursday, like I said, CBS NCAA tournament starts and runs for the rest of my life, I think. And then I may be wrong on that, but that's what
so
it feels
funny.
Like. Saturday, Nick, Kids Choice Awards is on, and Josh Duhamel is hosting that one.
Okay.
Sunday, a couple specials. PBS has a Kristen Chenoweth special.
Oh.
All kinds of Broadway women's music.
Nice.
And then HBO has a special, Phil Spector.
Ooh.
Okay, so how cheesy does that sound? And it's the time frame. It's all about, like, the murder and his court trial and all
is it
that.
Like a dramatic recreation kind of thing?
Yeah, okay. So sounds like crap, right?
Yeah.
Sounds just like cash in, yeah. Like some crappy old B-list actor.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah, Al Pacino is playing Phil Spector.
Shut up.
Helen Mirren is playing his lawyer.
Oh, my God.
And it's written and directed by David Mamet.
What?
Okay, no, did, like, your opinion completely change?
Yes.
Like, if I hadn't said Phil Spector and I said that last part, you would have been totally into it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, so that is on HBO Sunday. So okay. Those of you with HBO, check that out and tell me which, if it ended up on the crap way or the amazing way.
Yeah.
Because I'm speechless on that one.
Damn, yeah.
All right. But in music this week, speaking of JT,
yeah.
His new one is finally out. We've been hearing songs from it forever.
Right.
But the 2020 Experience by Justin Timberlake. And then we have a new album by Anthrax.
What?
It's called Anthems, and it's covers of, like, their favorite top songs.
No way.
And then a little softer, Brian McKnight has a new one called More Than Words.
Yeah.
And then The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
First soundtrack for that.
Okay.
Is coming out. And then speaking of Les Mis, like, that was released when it was out in theaters, but yeah. Now we have the deluxe edition. Is out to coincide with the DVD release. So that is music this week. And who wants to say it with me?
James Patterson
is back. We had quite a break for him.
We did. Yeah.
It was weeks without anything.
He must have gone to the islands or something.
Yeah. This is his young adult fiction. It's called Middle School. My Brother is a Big Fat Liar. And it's the third, I think, or something in that series. And then, let's see, Dimitri Martin has Point Your Face at This Drawings. It's actually art.
Oh, sketches.
With his sketches,
nice.
Which there is tons of actually art books coming out this week. Because The Art of Todd McFarlane, The Devils in the Details, is coming out in paperback.
Yeah.
And that's all his, cool comic-y drawings.
Very talented guy, complete social butthead.
That is, not surprising. That's pretty much a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Now, this is someone I actually know from Twitter, Jessica Hagee. She has this amazing blog called Indexed, and she does Venn diagrams, but they're, like, smart and funny.
Oh.
And they appear in, like, New York Times, and she writes for Smithsonian and Forbes, but she has a new book, How to Be Interesting in 10 Simple Steps, and it's the stuff she's done online.
Okay.
So, very cool. And then, biography of Cher.
Really?
Cher, All I Really Want to Do. Daryl Easleya and Eddie Figo? Something like that. Anyhow, if you're a Cher fan, new biography of her.
Interesting.
If you want to catch that up. And then theater this week is actually LA Theater, which is quite shocking because LA Theater slightly sucks.
Yeah, there is not much.
But
LA
the Geffen, which is the big one there.
Yes.
American Buffalo opens April 2nd.
Yeah.
Written by Mamet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's starring Ron Eldard.
Yep.
Freddie Rodriguez and Bill Smitrovich.
Smitrovich on stage. I would not hesitate to buy tickets to that show.
Yeah. Yeah. So very cool eclectic cast.
Yes.
you know, classic American theater.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that runs April 2nd through May 12th.
Very cool.
So not too long of a run.
No, they never have very long runs there.
Yeah. But so if you are LA and enjoy not just Hollywood movie acting,
yeah,
but classic theater, you will want to check that out.
And it's a great space because there is not a bad seat in that entire house.
No.
Let's see. Well, the big story this past week has been Kickstarter.
It has, my little marshmallows.
Well, so a couple weeks back, you had sent me a link to, what was it? It wasn't a YouTube video. It was a video that had been put together by Ralph Bakshi.
Yes.
Who was funding a private film that he needed to raise some money for, just in his pet animated project about, I think it was New York in the 1930s. And I thought it was very cool. I mean, we've heard of Kickstarter before, that it's a way to raise money from people who want to support creative arts, you know, in different ways.
Right. And it started out, I think, a lot more smaller, like bands wanting to release their first album and trying to get, but it has really turned more to like famous people. Like I had supported one. It was, they did a concert with Bob Mould Music.
Oh.
And they wanted to release it on DVD. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, a bunch of fans, famous fans of his, you know, going and doing all of his songs to tribute to him. And so that went on and that's coming out on DVD now. But much more famous people are starting to use it.
Yeah, so famous, in fact, that the latest thing was the Veronica Mars film project.
Yeah, hello.
Which, what was it, 36 or 48 hours that had raised more than $3 million?
Yeah, its goal was $2 million to be able to make the movie. And then more, you can put more in the movie. And it was a month, Kickstarter, to make the $2 million. Yeah. And it made it in less than 24 hours.
That's insane.
One day. So. But what was interesting to me, I think that's cool enough that they made $2 million and they're going to make a movie this summer and release it next winter.
Right.
The backlash was insane.
Yes.
Like this whole, like, how dare famous people ask regular people for money?
Yeah. In a world where it's so crazy to fund creative projects in the first place, people are getting inventive with ways to be able to support their art. Because so many businesses and things, well, you look at just the schools, what's the first thing to go when they make budget cuts are the arts.
Right.
So you're not going to get it from the old-time funding sources. And the studios are very tight. They only want to invest in projects that they know they're going to make money on. So let's come up with new ways to do this. So when somebody does and it becomes successful, then you, like you said, you get this backlash of people who are like, you can't buck the system. You cannot, you know, do this. Right. And
it was, there were people on Twitter, like I funded it.
Yeah.
There were people on Twitter, like yelling at me, not specifically, but us funders, like how, calling us idiots and telling us how stupid we were. And, you know, like giving our money to the man kind of thing.
But it's not, that's the thing, it's not the man.
Warner Brothers is not getting this money.
Right.
Rob is getting this money to go make a movie and pay his actors.
Right.
And pay how many other hundreds and hundreds of people to work on this.
I mean, it's no different than Mitch Hurwitz cutting a deal with Netflix in order to do the Arrested Development
series. And here's the thing, too. I didn't just give, here's some money.
Yeah.
I basically bought a t-shirt and a DVD and a script and whatever else other people bought.
Yeah.
I bought this. I just prepaid for it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going to get the DVD for a year. All I did was buy something I really want and prepay for it.
But even then, why is it so horrible for somebody to donate? I mean, we donate to the Jerry Lewis telethon and things like that. Well, how is this any different than making a contribution?
People that don't need it.
But you know what? That's ridiculous because how much time and resources does it take to make a project like this? It's not like somebody can bankroll this out of their, you know, their savings account. You know, what did Kevin Smith and Robert Rodriguez had to do is get all these credit cards and max them out in order to make independent films. They have to come up with a way to be able to fund these things, and it just doesn't fall out of the air and into somebody's lap.
Right. I don't know, and I just get the idea, and I really liked Amanda Palmer tweeted about this. Mm. And she used a certain word in every single line, but it was like anybody can ask for help with their art.
Yes.
Anybody big, anybody small, anybody famous, anybody not famous. Who are you to tell them not to? And who are you to tell me that I'm an idiot for supporting something I really want to see?
Right. Ugh,
okay. Okay, we got to get off the soapbox. Right.
Well, so anyways, the snowball effect to this has already started to come because now people are speculating, all right, what's going to be the next one? Josh Schwartz's spy comedy, Chuck. You know, can we wrap something up with that? Brian Fuller's Pushing Daisies, which never got an end when ABC pulled the plug on that show. Right. And Brian was trying to do a comic book that never really, you know, came to fruition. And now he's off doing other projects. But that would be a perfect thing for them to be able to wrap up that. But then the other thing said, all right, Joss Whedon's Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, whoa, put the brakes on. He's like, I'm tied up with Marvel for the next 3 years. Nathan is committed to Castle. You know, everybody else is doing other things. He says, I'm so busy I can't even get the Dr. Horrible 2 off the ground. So just, he says, I appreciate the excitement, but let's just hold off for a while.
Yeah, but it's neat that all these things we thought would never happen have a possibility of happening.
And that's just it. There is now a glimmer of hope that certain things that people want to see, now people have an outlet to be able to say, hey, I'm willing to pony up some cash if you'll do this for us.
Yep.
Where's the harm in that?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Christian Bale may be parting the Red Sea for Ridley Scott's epic Moses.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. I mean, Charlton Heston was enough to watch in The Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Listening to Christian Bale maybe using his Batman voice as Moses, I'm not really interested in that.
I may not. Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Mm. Batman Moses? Dude, I'm all in for that one.
Where's your Messiah now? Les Mis director Tom Hooper may be directing Sacha Baron Cohen's Freddie Mercury biopic. Now, this is interesting to me because I think Sacha's an incredibly talented guy.
He really is.
And Freddie is such a dynamic character that I cannot think of anybody who would do more justice to a movie like this than he.
Yeah, I agree. This has been tossed around in lots of names and stuff, but I think he would be excellent.
Yeah. But they need to cast somebody to play Brian May, who has the most amazing hair ever.
Well, Pacino's. You should see his Spectre hair.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
He can just use his Spectre wigs.
There you go.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
Genius. TV continues to suffer horrible ratings issues. Community and Glee have hit all-time lows. So I think
because they both suck this season too.
Okay, well,
just point that out. They're not nearly as good as they used to be.
All right. But I think we're starting to see a shift in the way people watch television, and it's going to change the way television is produced.
Right, and it needs to change the way ratings are.
That's
tabulated too.
Yep. Yeah, you can't have a Nielsen family anymore because nobody sits at home from 7 to 10 o'clock and watches TV Monday through Friday.
Right.
Alan Thicke is co-starring in David Spade's new workplace sitcom, Bad Management. I don't know. Seeing Alan Thicke and David Spade on the same screen?
All right.
That could be both genius or completely disastrous. I don't know. And then one other thing, NBC is moving Smash to Saturday night, which is all but signs its death warrant. So, and I have not watched a single episode this season. So.
It's not nearly as good as last season.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I've got for entertainment.
Okay. Well, it pays to be a female Kardashian rather than a male one. Kim got pulled over for having a tinted front window. Because when you're all famous like that, you need it. She got like a warning.
Yeah. Wait, she gets a warning. I get a $234 ticket for turning left into a grocery store parking lot, and she gets a warning for having a tinted window.
Anyhow.
Never mind.
So the next day, Rob got pulled over in his vehicle for having a tinted window.
Yes.
And got a ticket.
I wonder what the cost on that was. L.A., you cannot, if you sneeze the wrong way in L.A., you get a $200 ticket.
Yeah, and Santa Monica's, I think, even worse.
Yeah, it's $100 fine. It's $50 fine for a meter violation, and if you don't pay it within the first week, it goes up to $100.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, so Kim kind of got away with it, and poor Rob, the least famous Kardashian, got a citation. Wah, wah, wah.
Jeez. Well, and on that bombshell, we will wrap up the show this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, head over to DVDverdict.com. We got a whole bunch of higher-profile reviews coming up this week. And Fox sent us over. If anybody's into the made-on-demand films, Fox has just released a massive amount of films from the 30s, 40s, and 50s on this new format that Warner Brothers has done pretty well with the Warner Archives. I'm curious to see how well Fox does. But, yeah, a lot of stuff coming up. So keep an eye over at DVDverdict.com. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
If your mama done showed you right from wrong, no thing should hold you down this long. There's no one to blame. Nothing stays the same. So we sit around and cry, because neither of us wants to be the first to say goodbye.